Still talking about the power of God. Where's the power of God come from? Where's the power of God come from? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is the power of God. And you know, a lot of times we can think, well, we get the power of God, now I can go on with it, and I'm good. Nope. You got to stay connected to God. Okay, you remember what Jesus said? He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Unless you stay connected to me, you can bear no fruit. Okay? If you break the branch off of the vine before it bears fruit, you're not going to see grapes on that branch. Okay? One time to illustrate that, I brought in a little peach tree I'd ran over with my car, and it broke it off. And I could hold it up and say, this tree will not bear fruit, I can assure you, because it's been broken away from its root. And you know, that's how it is for us too. Jesus is the root, and he is the vine, and we stay connected to him through the Spirit of God that dwells in us, and we need to stay connected through the Spirit of God to our power. And the reason why we see such a powerless church is because we have dreadfully grieved the Spirit of God in the church today. We do not recognize him. We do not honor him as holy. In fact, too many churches today don't even really, they're not concerned with preaching the Word of God. They're more concerned with entertaining people. We don't fear God like we should. How holy is God? He is completely holy. Do you realize there's not one bad thing about God? In him there is no darkness. He is perfect in every way. And I can tell you, he's going to be the perfect judge too. We should definitely take him seriously whenever we come into his presence. Amen? And so we're going into the presence of this holy God right now in his word. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. And we're going to talk about how powerful this power of God is. That he actually raises the dead. Amen? Do we get an amen to that? And say, hallelujah, let's give God a hand this morning. He's the one that raises the dead. He does it both physically, and he displays that physically by raising the dead in this world. But I'm telling you, it's showing us something about a spiritual reality that's even more important, and that's the resurrection of the dead forever. Amen? And so Jesus was resurrected from the dead to show us that all who come after him will be resurrected from the dead as well to eternal life. Now, I also want you to know there's going to be a resurrection for everybody. And the ones who are resurrected not in Christ are going to spend forever in hell in a burning lake of fire. It's a dreadful fact, but it's a fact nonetheless that we need to face up to. So should we fear God? Absolutely. We need to understand he is all-powerful, and he is not only to be respected, but understood for how powerful that he is. So let's look at God's word, but before we do, let's stop and pray. Dear God, I pray that you would just reveal the truths of your word today to us in a way that we can apply it into our lives. Help us, Lord. Help us to see what you have to say to the church today, and help us to be willing to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've been talking about how Saul was turned around in the Damascus Road, and he was completely transformed. He became not only a Christian, but a completely energized Christian, an apostle of Christ who had seen Jesus and was going forward, preaching the Word of God with all power. We also realized that didn't necessarily make him popular with everybody. They tried to kill him everywhere he went. Okay, so I can tell you that if you preach the gospel, there's going to be people that are not going to like it. Amen? But God's power is still with you, and he will confirm it in you, and you will continue on whenever you're walking with God in the Holy Spirit. We see that the church was being added to. It was multiplying. And in verse 31, we'll kind of back up to that verse and we'll look at it. Then the churches throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. So what's the recipe for a multiplying church? Walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Right there. That's the recipe. Everybody keeps trying to find this seeker-friendly look for a church. Maybe if we've got the right, you know, furniture. Maybe if we have the right coffee. Maybe if we have the right music. Maybe if we have the right attitude. Maybe if we wear the right clothes. Maybe if we got the right backdrop. You know, now the big thing is let's put up pallets all over the walls, and that'll bring people in. Let's paint the ceiling black, and that'll bring people in. Let's lower the lights, and they'll come in. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's build a bigger building, and they'll come in. Guys, here's what will bring the people, is whenever we walk in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Then it won't just be addition. It's going to be multiplication, because the church will be being built up and going out. And it's going to be bringing people back in, and people are going to be loving each other, and people are going to be living it out just like they did in the book of Acts. So we can name a church the Book of Acts Church. Well, I see some of those. Ain't a bad name. But what we need to be is a Book of Acts Church. We need to act like the Book of Acts Church. We need to be like the Book of Acts Church, and we need to live like the Book of Acts Church. We need to live walking in the comfort of the Holy Spirit every day and in the fear of the Lord. Do y'all fear God? I'm afraid sometimes we fear people more than we fear God. We need to fear God enough to do what He says in a daily walk with Him. And some people would criticize that and say, well, you know, fear, it says that perfect love casts out fear. And again, guys, this don't mean you cower in the corner. This means you get up and walk with Him and you do what He says. I can tell you, I love nobody in this world in my childhood more than my dad and my mom. But I had a healthy fear of them too. Because I knew whenever they said something, they meant it. And if I didn't do it, even though they weren't going to reject me and throw me out, I would never get thrown out of my house. My mom and dad were always there for me. But I knew I would get disciplined. I think we should fear God as our Father in the exact same way. We should do what He says. We should follow Him in what He says. Not in a legalistic way where we're trying to earn our salvation, but because He is great and He is awesome and He is worthy of us living for Him. Let's look at verse 32. Now it came to pass, as Peter went through all parts of the country, that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydda. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years and was paralyzed. Who had been bedridden for 8 years and was paralyzed. Guys, even today, if you're bedridden for 8 years and you're paralyzed, you're in a bad state. Can anybody who knows a little bit about medicine tell me what happens to muscles whenever you haven't moved for 8 years? They deteriorate. It's called atrophy. Like, they become almost nothing. Okay? I mean, like, guys, even today, we can't just cure that. Okay? I want you to understand that. Even with all of our great technology, man, we think we really got it going now. We don't even need God anymore, is the way some folks think. I'm telling you that even now we can't cure this. But look at what happens. Look at what happens. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ. Now remember, Aeneas' last name is who He is. He is the Christ. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, heals you. Arise. Who's healing Him now? Hold on. Hold the presses. Who's healing Him? Is it Peter healing Him? No. Peter is proclaiming the healing. It's flowing straight from Jesus Christ. Now, who is He flowing it through? He's flowing it through Peter. Peter's the pipeline. Remember, we talked about that. So get the gunk out of the pipeline so that God can flow the healing through you. Now, it may not always be in a physical way, but I'll tell you, a greater miracle than this is whenever somebody gets spiritually healed through a person. You present the gospel, and they see it in your life, and they receive it, and they're a new person. I'll tell you, it's a greater healing. It really is. But look at what happens here to prove that it can happen. Is He says, Jesus, the Christ, heals you. Arise and make your bed. Then they called in the physical therapist. They strengthened up his muscles. And 3 months later, no, he did it immediately. Immediately he rose up and he did it. He did that very thing. It was a miracle from God. Does God still do miracles today? Absolutely. We see them far too few and far between, though, because I think our faith is small. I think our pipelines are gunked up. I think we need to get our lives right with God and ask Him to do these same things. Lord, that You would just use us to flow Your healing through into people's lives. And again, guys, I'm telling you, this was a physical matter, but it's pointing toward a spiritual reality. You see, do you see any broken lives around you? You see any broken lives around you? You may have come in this building feeling really broken today, even. Broken life may not be out there. He may be saying, yeah, it's me. I feel broken today. I can tell you Jesus can heal you. Jesus can heal you without changing your situation, too. Jesus can heal you right now by giving you hope, by lifting you up. Has anybody ever experienced a healing from Jesus spiritually while the struggle was still going on? Excuse me, he didn't change your situation, but buddy, he sure changed your heart. He sure gave you hope. He sure lifted you up, and you didn't understand how in the world you could be feeling so good whenever you still had such a struggle around you, but you were over that struggle. You had a presence that was greater than that struggle. You had eternal life holding you up. That's Jesus. Then he rose immediately. And so, now here, I'm a highlighter guy. I highlighted verse 35. I want you to look at verse 35 because this is the purpose. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. What's God's purpose? He wants people to turn to him. Amen. Let's kind of scroll through those verses a little bit. We ain't even gotten to the raising the dead yet. We've already talked about how he heals people, but I really want to spend a little bit of time about how he's healing this guy, because you see, it's with purpose. And you'll see this over and over and over again. You see, Jesus was sending out his disciples. He sent out his apostles. And if you remember, he sent them out. And so what was Peter doing when all this stuff started happening? He was going. He was going. You remember? Jesus already sent him out and he said, go therefore, right? Go therefore. Remember whenever he went back to heaven? Can anybody recite Matthew 28, 19 through 20 for me? Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Tell me what it says. Okay, that was really good. And he said, go therefore, right, into all nations, making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Right? And teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Right? So Tara did a great job giving it to us. We always want to remember that teaching part, okay? And this is about making disciples. So what was Peter doing whenever this happened? Some people would say, well, preacher, I go through my whole life, and I go to work, and I do all this stuff, and I never hardly ever see God ever do anything that seems miraculous to me. Guys, are you going there for? Are we just focusing on ourselves, or are we focusing on really ministering to others? Because I'm going to tell you, yeah, you go do your jobs. You go do the things that God gives you to help take care of your families and all that stuff. But it's whenever we really get set apart for God and we say, I'm living for God today. Yeah, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be a great employee, but I'm living for God. This is His job. I'm His person. And what I want you to do today, God, is I want you to put somebody in my path who needs Jesus. And I want them to come to me and ask me. And I want to, God, put them there, and I'll be ready to let you flow through me today. You'll start seeing miracles happen in your lives right then. Because that's exactly what he did. If we see it there in verse 32, it says, now it came to pass as Peter went through the parts of the country. You see, he was already going, church. He didn't sit over there living for himself in selfishness and pride, and then somebody went over and knocked on Peter's door and said, hey, there's some dude over here that's paralyzed. So could you come on over here and heal this guy for us? Because we heard that you kind of been with this Jesus. No, he was going when he came upon this guy. He was going. He was going in whose name? In the name of the Lord. He was living for Jesus. Do you know he was running from persecution right now? Do you all remember the persecution broke out in Jerusalem and it chased all the apostles out of Jerusalem and they were going out of all these different parts of the country? He's not in Jerusalem now. He's in Lydda now because he's done been persecuted. He could be sitting over here feeling sorry for himself and saying, Lord, this ain't what I signed up for. But instead, he just kept going. You know what? Last week, I had some special time of prayer and fasting, and I'm going to tell you what God told me at the end of it. This is what he told me. He said, keep going forward. It was just that simple. I get all depressed and sometimes I get really sorrowful. Do you know, I know about more people's problems than I care to. It gets me down. I hear about everybody's problems. I can't handle it. But here's the thing, Jesus can. So you see, during that time, rather than getting depressed about it, you notice I don't look real depressed today, do I? Because, you see, I've been with Jesus. I spent time with Him, and He gave me a word, and He said, get up! Go forward. Keep going forward. Keep your armor on. The soldier goes forward. What did he say? On this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not, tell me, prevail against it. What does that mean? We're knocking it down, guys. But instead, we're sitting in our pews going, woe is me. It's because we're not going therefore. We need to get up and go therefore. Tomorrow's Monday morning. It's easy to be a Christian on Sunday. Amen? It's easy to be a Christian on Sunday. You get to go with all your buddies and your family members and your church family, and you get to kind of bask in the presence inside these four walls, and there ain't nobody opposing us here. Come on, guys, are you tracking with me? Does it feel good in here? And sometimes we want to be like Peter was, and he said, oh, Lord, we're up on this mountain. We see you all in your glory. I want to build some tabernacles. I want to stay here. This is great. Nope. They had to go back down into the valley. And y'all remember what they found, a demon-possessed boy that nobody could heal. And the disciples are scratching their heads, and they're going, Jesus, you told us to cast out demons, but we don't seem to be able to do this for this guy. So like, what are we doing wrong? And Jesus said, some kind can only be removed by prayer and fasting. Guys, we got to get with Jesus. We got to spend time with Jesus. We got to be with Jesus. I don't know what your fast needs to look like. I'll tell you a number one fast that everybody probably needs to take. Get away from the media for a while. Let yourself be set apart to where God can speak to you. Go ahead and eat your food that time. I don't care. Get apart. Get set apart with Jesus. Let Him alone speak to you for a while. You'll start to hear from Him. Sometimes we've got to stay with Him for a little while. But you see, once we get away with Him, then we go. Therefore, we got His power to go. All right, we're going to get into the exciting part. We ain't even gotten started yet. Verse 36, at Joppa. You see, he's still going. He went from Lydda. Somebody got healed, and he didn't just stay there and go, well, look at this. Here's my poster child. I think maybe we'll start a show together. You know, people will come, and they'll see this man who once was. No, he went to the next city. He kept going because other people need Jesus. And so here he is at Joppa. There was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in the upper room. Okay, now all that sounds really weird, does? Does that sound weird to you? She dies, they wash her, they put her in the upper room. You know, do you ever hear the old joke about grandma's in the attic? I mean, this kind of seems weird, but you need to understand what's going on. Okay, we've got funeral homes, right? Whenever somebody dies, we send them to the funeral home. What do they do with them there? All right, I know, this is getting weird. No, they get them all ready so that everybody can come and visit and say goodbye. So they wash them up, they get them ready, they put them out so that the family that can come. Now, maybe you don't want that, and if you don't, I can respect you in that. I'm cool with it. But this was the custom, and they did it in their home. All right, so now this lady was a sweet Christian gal, okay? We can see. She was a servant. And so, like, they were really broken by this thing, that she died and everything. But the reason why it gives us that detail, when they had washed her and put her in the upper room, guys, this means she was 100% dead. She was so dead that she didn't wake up whenever they washed her. She was so dead that they had her laying in the upper room, and she wasn't moving, and she wasn't getting up, and she wasn't leaving, okay? She was D-E-A-D, dead, all right? But look at the faith, okay? She was dead. They went through the actions that they would have taken for any other dead person. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Okay, so like he's getting ready to move on. They send out these people, and they say, tell him to come quick, because we got a dead person on our hands. Now, what would you say if you were Peter? I mean, like, dude, you already washed her and put her in the upper room, right? She's dead. What can I do about that? Well, that ain't quite what Peter said. Peter said, this is another chance for God to be glorified. Okay? And so Peter arose, Verse 39, and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. That was her other name. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. Probably wasn't quite that gentle, though, don't you think? It was like, Tabitha, arise. Amen? And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. Okay, need to underline again. And many believed on the Lord. And many believed on the Lord. Why does God do these miracles? Was it just for Aeneas and just for Dorcas and just for their family members and just to make everybody feel good so they could have a happy life? No. It was so that others would see and believe in Jesus for eternal life. Say amen, please. Guys, whenever he does miracles in our lives, do you know why he changes people and does it publicly? Do you know why he lets people get off in a big old mess and then he changes them immediately and they become a different person? It's because he wants to display his glory to a lost world. You see, whenever he saved me from being that kind of mean guy that was so grumpy that my kids fled whenever I came in the door, whenever they saw how much he had changed me, they knew God is real. They knew that what happened to their dad was something different. That's why it was done publicly. That's why I'm not ashamed of it today. That's why I will tell everybody that you know, the guy I was before is not the guy that I am now, because I am born again. You can be born again. Give me an amen. If you're born again, tell others they can be born again. But you see, this is the way we do it in American Christianity. Man, I don't want anybody to know how bad I was. Oh man, that just embarrasses me so much. I just don't want anybody to see my ugly dirt. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus has picked you up out of that pig pen, you need to let everybody see it. Because you see, and so they believed. If God's rescued you from some kind of horrible addiction, then tell the world, Jesus healed me. Tell the world, so that others who are still there can see it and know he can save them too. Guys, I can tell you, I know for sure Jesus heals marriages too, because he resurrected me from the dead spot I was in. And then he began a process of resurrecting our marriage. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I know it for a fact. My wife was afraid of me. She was afraid of me. She was afraid of my reactions. And even after I got saved, you know, I didn't get perfect. It came out every now and then. And I could see it in her eyes. When she could see my mood changing, she got scared. Can you imagine how much that broke my heart 5 years later whenever I still saw that fear in her eyes? Guys, I had to face up to it and just be humble. I didn't deserve any better. It just needed to be healed. It needed to be brought under the blood of Christ. It needed to be healed, and it took time, and it's still taking time today. You know, there's still some things we're trying to work through, but God resurrects marriages. Amen? Amen? Come on, guys. You guys don't look real excited about this. He raises lame people. He raises dead people, and he even raises dead marriages. People that are dead. Guys, did you know before you come to Jesus, you're dead in your sins and trespasses? Spiritually dead. The Bible says so. What does that mean? You may be breathing. You may be walking, but you're just a dead man walking. Because the moment you draw your last breath here, you're going to be in hell forever. That's spiritual death. It's like a second death that's worse than anything we could ever imagine. You see, there's all these lost people around us that are in that state too. Every one of them, 100% guaranteed. Guys, Jesus wants to use us. But you see, we got to do what Peter did here. Peter didn't just sit in the comfort of the victories that he had seen. He kept going forward. He kept letting God use him. He kept going therefore. I want you to see something here. That last verse there in verse 43. So many believed on the Lord. Verse 42. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. You see, we keep going until God plants us, and then we stay for as long as he wants us to stay. Now, when we read this next chapter, we're going to see God had a plan for him. He sent for him whenever it was time. Guys, we need to be in a walk of faith. We need to be going therefore because Jesus has all authority. That's what the therefore is there for. Romans 8, 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Guys, whether God heals or resurrects the dead, either way, he does it for the same purpose. He does it for the same purpose. So all who dwelt in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. And then it became known through all Joppa with the second miracle we see there, and many believed on the Lord. Guys, it's all to spread the glory of God. Let it be for his glory. And I'm just going to tell you, guys, Jesus still raises the dead, both physically and spiritually. Jesus still does miracles, and he wants to do them through us. He just wants us to be the one to proclaim it. As you see, he always sent his prophets out to proclaim the miracles ahead of time so that whenever people saw it, they knew it was already predicted. It was going to happen. It had to be God. Couldn't be a coincidence. Couldn't be a coincidence. Let God use you. Get yourself in a place where God can use you. He uses the people that are wholly surrendered to him. Get surrendered to God today. I have seen God raise the dead, literally, twice in my life. I have seen God raise dead people. People, their heart wasn't beating, they wasn't breathing, there wasn't no CPR administered, there wasn't anything, and I'm not saying any of that's bad, but I'm saying there was prayer, and God started their heart beating again. I have seen it. And I want you to know that if you know that, it needs to be proclaimed so that others will believe in Christ as well. There's going to be people say, well, why didn't God do it every time then? Oh, that's just a bunch of nonsense. No. You see, God does what he chooses to do. And whenever he chooses to do that, it's a miracle so others will believe. And so if you've seen it, you know it, and you've seen healings, then proclaim it so that God will be glorified. Amen. I've seen changed lives, and that's the greatest thing. I pray you're one of them. If you're not, Jesus is here today. He'll receive you. You don't have to tell it to the preacher. You may want to. But the number one thing you need to do is tell it to Jesus. You need to go to him and say, I know you are the Christ. I know you're the one who died on that cross for my sins. I know that it paid for me, and I want to trust you as my Lord today. I believe you're in heaven, resurrected, and I believe you are Lord of my life. Turn your life over to Jesus today and start walking with him, and you will be truly saved. If you don't turn your life over to him, now I've had some people say, well, Jesus is my Savior, but he's not really my Lord. Jesus is my Savior, but I'm not really surrendered to him. I would dare to say, and you might get mad at me for this, if that's the case, you're not really saved. Those that are saved are the ones who surrender to Jesus. Those who are saved are the ones who say, in their heart, Lord Jesus. The Bible says so. It says whoever believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead and confesses with their mouth, Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. I think it is necessary for us to turn our lives over to him. Let me pray for you today that you are totally surrendered. And remember, God's the only one who has the power to raise the dead. None of us can do it. Dear Father, I pray that you would just bless this group right here. Thank you for them coming, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be sitting here today, even with a miracle, and more than one miracle, Lord, in our midst. You've done miracles for many and all of us at one time or another. But, Lord, I am so thankful that you raised Ben, Lord, in his time of distress. And, Lord, it's because of your great plan, but I know that it's true. Lord, whenever he was laying there and he wasn't breathing and his heart wasn't beating, And Lord, I didn't know what was going to happen. And even his friends were screaming at him, trying to get him to answer. Lord, I knew that screaming at a dead man ain't going to make him answer. All we can do is cry out to God. And so, Lord, when we cried out to you, you answered. And I know I wasn't the only one there praying. There were others praying, Brother Adam, Brother Daniel, and others, Lord. And I praise you that you heard our prayers and you chose to answer them and send him back to his family to continue to serve you. Lord, I pray he will make the most of his life for you, God, because it's a gift. I pray that every one of us would realize that it's the same gift for us to have life today. When you decide to draw back that borrowed breath, we'll cease to live. But Lord, as long as you put that breath in us, the breath of the Spirit, let us live for you. Let us live to make you seen among the nations, because Jesus is the answer, and you're the only answer to our problems. God, resurrect the dead here today. If there's any that are spiritually dead, I pray you'd raise them up to eternal life. Lord, if there's any marriages in here that are dead, Lord, breathe life into them, Lord. We ask you to raise the dead. Lord, raise the dead. You're still the God who raises the dead in China. They were asked, what do people refer to you as? The church in China, the house church in China, the true believers. They said, they call us ones who raise the dead. You are still raising the dead today, Lord, through your people, but it's the power of your Holy Spirit doing it. So God, use us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.